This is Jock Talk, an intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing. Presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
25-year-old Mario Gutierrez, who touched Derby, 1:38.
Digging down for the final 16th under Victor Espinosa.
Joe Calamo in the ride of his life, in the race of his life.
Gary Stevens, 3 Preaknesses.
A brilliant ride by Calvin Burrell.
Up the inside under Johnny Velasquez to take it.
Shanghai Bobby and Rosina Bradnick come again to beat. He's had enough.
Raji Barrage aboard, crushing the field here.
Perfectly ridden by Javier Castellano.
A scintillating performance under Rafael Bejarano.
Now here's Mike Penna.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you in our Lexington, Kentucky studios, and want to extend a special welcome to everyone joining us throughout North America on Sirius 220, XM Channel 206, and all of you tuning in worldwide with our live streaming available on our website, on your smartphone, or on your tablet. That's right, you can listen to us anywhere in the world, any way that you want to, at horseracingradio.net. Don't forget that each week, a portion of the proceeds from Jock Talk are given back to the official charity of the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund, and I do encourage each and every one of you to support the PDJF and help the riders that have given our sport so much, and because of those catastrophic injuries that they've suffered in the saddle, they can no longer do that, and they can no longer support themselves fully. Well, you can help by going to pdjf.org and get involved today. Of course, Tito's Handmade Vodka, the sponsor of this program every week, a big supporter of PDJF and a big supporter of racing, so you can support them as well. Christina going to be back in the saddle with me next week. She was a bit under the weather today, so you're stuck with me for the next hour, and you're stuck with our special guest, who is Jesus Castanon, the 42-year-old native of Mexico City. He's won nearly 2,300 races so far, 2,295 to be exact. His runners have earned, get this, nearly $51 million in purses. Of course, the biggest win of his career coming in the 2011 Preakness Stakes with Shackleford. He's in the process of recovering from a few injuries that he sustained at Churchill Downs back in the middle of June, but I know he'd rather be riding races, but instead he's here with us on Jock Talk to tell us his story. And Jesus, really appreciate you taking a little time.
Well, thank you very much for calling me with you guys. I'm healing up pretty good. Hitting the ground pretty hard, though. I was able to get up and with broken bone and a broken fibula.
Yeah,
day by day, I'm doing a lot better.
Yeah, and it has to be hard for you to be sitting on the sidelines, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what? When that happened, you know, right after I came back home from the hospital, I just told my wife, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and just forget about racing for a little bit, and now I want to let that, you know, go into my mind. So I kind of let it go, but I would say last week it was tough because I just couldn't sustain and start watching the races, and that really hit me. And I want to get back, you know, to the title, but it's tough right now.
Yeah, it's like any athlete, right? If you're a football player or a baseball player and you're on the sidelines on the disabled list, and you want to be back there, well, in that case, with your teammates, but you want to be back on the field. Same thing for jockeys, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's a tough job, but, this all that we go through, you know, it comes with the job, you know.
Yeah, it does. And you've been through this before. You've had several injuries in your career. How many times, Jesus, do you think you've had to do this? Go to the sidelines, recuperate, rehab, and then try to get back in the saddle?
Well, over the I have been riding for 27 years, and I have the longest that I've been off. It's been 3 months. I had a concussion at the dislocated shoulder, and that kept me. I would say that's the one that kept me off longer, and the rest of them are just like keep me off for a month. I will say 2012, I broke my hand, and that was when I was riding one of my biggest horses in my life, I would say. And I broke my hand, and that kept me off for at least 2 months. And that was a lot of pain to do it, but I was able to get back and be able to get back on the horse too, so it was good at that point.
Yeah, of course, referring to Shackelford, your Preakness winner in 2011. And then when you were injured, and we'll talk more about that as we move throughout the program, but when you were injured, you actually spent a little time with me on the radio as my co-host for the Stephen Foster broadcast. And I know you would have rather been out there competing, but it was nice to have you with me. And I'm going to ask you, what was a bigger thrill, winning the Preakness Stakes or sitting in on the radio with me?
I was pretty excited being with you. Though. I really got to enjoy being on the talk, on the talk radio with you and watching the races. up in top of the floor in Churchill Downs. It was amazing feeling.
Is that a great view or what?
Oh man, it was amazing. I really like it. I really enjoy it.
I'm sure the Preakness holds a little bit more special place in your heart, and rightfully so. It definitely should. That was a big moment for you, and we are going to talk about that race and that experience later on in the show. But Jesus, one thing I do want to bring up, because this is different from other sports, and we don't often talk about it on this program, but when a football player gets hurt, they're under contract, so they're still getting a paycheck every week. When a baseball player gets hurt, they're under contract, still getting a paycheck. When a jockey gets hurt, you mentioned being out for 3 months at one point, you're not getting a paycheck. You're not earning any money when you're on the sidelines, and that has to be a bit of a difficult situation for jockeys too.
Yes, it is. It is it's pretty tough. We do have this program is that disabled riders we get a help from them. But it's as regular rider that you make a check every week as you work, you're not getting that thing coming into your pocket, and that really is I would say that it's tough. It's tough to be able to have the same life that you had before when you was riding, making money every week.
Yeah.
And especially being up for such a long time,
What drives a jockey to want to come back and get in the saddle again after they get hurt and break bones the way that they often do?
Yeah, well, that's one thing that makes you go back to the saddle that quickly, because they not get to see what they had before as getting paid every week. And being in such hard times that basically make you go back to the saddle before you ever get healed up.
Yeah. I've had several jockeys tell me that when they win a race, especially a big race, like let's say the Preakness Stakes like you did, but really any race, that adrenaline rush that you get when you're winning a race is almost like a drug, and it's almost like something that once you start doing it enough, you can't live without. Is that true?
Yes, it is true. Yeah, I lived the experience, and it was amazing. Yeah.
How would you describe the feeling of winning a horse race as a jockey, Jesus?
Well, winning a race is exciting. It is been doing it for every single day, and you've been doing it for such a long time. I will say that winning any type of race could be claiming or a lounge race, and even I would say a small stake. It's exciting, but that's what I call you're just so happy that you'd be able to win a race and accomplish another race in your life.
Is
another win, I would say.
Talking with jockey Jesus Castanon on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And Jesus knows that excitement of winning a horse race and that feeling. He's done it, as I mentioned earlier, nearly 2,300 times in his career. And it all started in Mexico City. And Jesus, you came from a horse racing family. Your dad was involved. He was a horse trainer. Tell me a little bit about growing up in Mexico City and being around your dad and what it was like for you as a kid.
Yeah, my dad used to be a trainer, and I was about 11. I would say around 10 years old when my dad used to start taking me to the racetrack. And I want to be honest with you, when I was 11 years old, I was afraid of the horses. I was like them, but I just, you know, the way they look, and, you know, I thought they were just, I mean, they're so big. And I was so afraid of them. But my dad was the one basically that pushed me into the business. Obviously, having a brother that he used to be riding in Mexico as well, I kind of followed his steps, you know, and that kind of got me more into it to be a jockey. I was not planning to really do it this long, but I want to say that if it wasn't for my dad, I don't think I would have been here, riding and be able to live this exciting life of being a jockey.
Yeah, after you won the Preakness in 2011, you did an interview where I know you got pretty emotional talking about your dad because he had just passed away shortly before in November of 2010. And just from hearing you talk about him, the little bit that you've done so far tonight, it sounds as if he really meant the world to you and to your career.
Yeah, you know, he was very exciting. At that point, to be honest, you know, I knew that going into the Preakness, I knew I had a big chance. And the one I wanted to see around it was my dad, because my dad was the one that he always wanted to see one of us, even my brother, because I do have another brother, he's still riding, and he wanted to see one of us to basically make it to the big races like that. And winning the race was such amazing feelings. I did not, to be honest, I do not remember exactly. I was running the race and everything was so smooth. But once I got past the wire, it just everything came down to me. First thing that went through my mind was my dad, because I wanted him to be able to see me winning the race and be able to celebrate it with me as well, which I know he did.
Yeah, you know, I can relate to what you're saying. I lost my dad shortly before you lost your dad. It was in March of 2010, actually. And there is that feeling that you get that they are with you at certain moments in your life. And I can imagine that this was a moment where you really felt that your dad was with you.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very emotional.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it had to be. What kind of teacher was your dad, Jesus?
You know, he was my idol. He's still been my idol. He told me a lot of good things in life, to be able to be strong in life and just take the good with the bad and never give up. Because he always, you know, he was a tough man. I would say that he always was on top of us. You know, we are 10 in the family, and we basically came from nowhere. We didn't have anything. We was barely making it, and seeing my dad, what he went through when we all was in Mexico, we wanted to go ahead and, you know, keep moving, and that probably seeing him, what he did, that make us strong, you know. What we're doing right now.
How many years did he train horses?
He trained, I'm going to say he started working in the track when, back in the 70s, I'm going to say probably for like 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah. He didn't have, many horses. He only had a few. And I would say that he was just, training his own horses and, And he had a few that he had with somebody else, like, you know, like they both, you know, like a partnership. And but he was the one that got to do everything all the time.
You said when you were 11 years old that at that time horses kind of scared you because they were so big and so powerful. What do you remember about the first time you actually sat on a horse?
Yeah, I was my brother that now he's galloping. He used to ride a long time ago. But anyways, in Mexico, we was about a little already was hog walking, and my dad used to pony his own horses. So he used to have about maybe four ponies, and so one day we just. It's funny though because I remember that we start talking about getting on the pony, and what we did, we get on the pony, we went up to the training track, which does the small track, and we just started just going, just like make it like a match race, and it was exciting. Ever since then, I said, man, this is so good, you know, and it was so amazing feeling to go at high speed.
Really, you weren't scared?
No. It was a pony. Ponies, it was smaller than the thoroughbred, but it just felt so good just running through full speed, you know. I mean, we were little. We didn't know. I could have been going like 5 miles per hour, but we thought it was going fast, you know. Yeah.
So how about the first time? What about the first time you sat on a thoroughbred then?
Oh, man, the first time? I was about 13 years old when I get on the thoroughbred, and actually he was a 2-year-old that he was very laid back, and he basically let you do whatever you want to do with him and everything, and I was that's how I started from there, and you know, it just the afraid went away from me and I was able to do it.
So you pretty much learned how to ride horses on your own. I know your dad was there. He was an influence in teaching you, but for the most part, it was all Jesus Castanon doing this on his own, is what it sounds like.
Well, I also had my brother. My brother, Antonio Castanon, he gave me some lessons, and my brother, Jose Castanon, he also gave me some good lessons. And I made my own myself, yes.
How would you describe your riding style, Jesus?
My riding style?
Yeah, how would you describe it? Laid back, aggressive? How do you describe it?
Well, I'm gonna say, after all, it seems that I can be put aggressive down the lane. I'm just, you know, just kind of laid back in the beginning and finish up strong.
How much different are you now as a rider than when you first started? What's the biggest difference?
Well, the biggest difference now, I think I riding with more precision because I know I'm riding again. I'm riding with so many riders, you know, with about 11 or 10 riders in the race, and I'm always thinking about, you know, I'm always riding safety first, and then make sure that nothing, you know, nothing goes wrong in the race and make it go through the race. But I am more precaution about what could happen during the race. Because, you know, when I was younger, I didn't really care much about it. I just went and ride it and didn't really, you know, I didn't know much about the pace. I didn't know much about the everything, you know. I used to be able to go through holes and pick hills, go down, get up and go, you know, do it the next race. But now, since I already went through so many accidents and I have seen so many accidents up there too, that kind of got me to slow down and be able to basically put myself in a safety spot and be able to, you know, be able to run my race a lot safer and be able to do better job than I used to do.
Well, that's not uncommon to see young riders come up and be fearless and right. somewhat careless in some instances because they're still learning. They don't understand the dangers that are facing them. At least if they do understand it, they're just oblivious to it. And I'm sure that that's one of the big issues that you're always talking with young riders about, right? Is you're trying yeah. to educate them and teach them how to ride safely?
Definitely. You know what? It's like, and I went through it myself. You know, I can go ahead and tell you right now that when I first started riding, I really didn't want to listen. I want to say that I was kind of like, you know, that if somebody else comes along and say to me, hey, Jesus, you got to do this, you got to do that. And the first thing that went through my mind was that, oh, man, this guy wants to screw me over or whatever. You know, I always thought that he was giving me the wrong advice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that, you know, now since I'm older and I've already been riding for so long, I already know the danger to be on top of a horse going 30, 35 miles per hour and being in the middle of 10 horses or whatever. You know, you got to go ahead and put yourself on the spot and you got to know every rider, every move the elder guys do and during the race. But I know. And today, you know, like you say, there is a lot of them out there that they just start riding and I'm going to say that they're doing the same thing as I used to be doing. But yeah, we try to help them out in order to make themselves a better riders and be able to be successful in this business and not going through spills that everyone else go through it before.
Yeah, and I can see exactly what you're saying because any young kid that comes up as a jockey, you know, doesn't want to hear that. They think that you're out for their job, obviously, and they're yes, they're coming after your job as a veteran. But as you get older, you realize, hey, we're teaching the younger guys to make it safer for everybody because now you understand what can happen if somebody is careless in a race.
Yes, sir. Yep. And now this point is like I'm happy to see new riders. I'm happy to see younger riders to start doing really good. And especially for those people that listen to you, that listen to the older riders, that if we want to go and talk to them, it's for their own good and for ourselves. Because if they make a mistake in the race and try to make a left or one right or whatever, and they end up clicking heels, and then you're behind them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when everything goes wrong. You know what I mean? But yes, we all, maybe, you know, everybody, we try to help them out. That, you know, I know there is a lot of young riders out there that they start riding and they go through themselves right away and go on and do the thing that this job is going to be as they think, easy and done. But it's not, you know.
Jockey Jesus Castanon on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jesus, you also have, what, 4 children now? Is that right?
Yeah, I do have four.
Yeah, well, how much does that change you when you start having kids and raising a family? That has to kind of change your outlook on things, too.
Big time. I have a 20-year-old girl that actually she already gave me a grandbaby. Granddaughter I have. I have a 18-year-old boy, a 12-year-old boy, and a 7-year-old boy. They did really change my life. Right after, I don't say that when the first came in, I didn't really think much about it. I was just happy to have, you know, to be daddy and this and that. But later on, I started realizing that if something ever happened to me, what's going to be left for them? So I had to, everything changed in my view of being a rider and my view of racing as well.
Are there any future jockeys among that group?
No, I don't think there is none, you know. My 18-year-old boy, he's about 6'5", something like that. He weighs about, I want to say 200.
Wait, whoa, where did that come from? Because, wait, you're married to a former jockey, so where on earth did this come from?
I don't know. You know, America's beautiful. America is the best. You know, they get the best meal.
All right, so we're not going to see him in the saddle. What about the other two, the younger ones?
The youngest one, the seven-year-old, I don't think they're really into much of horses. The younger one, I think that he could be later on, but he never know how they grow up so quick and how develop their body. I would think that he's going to have the size, but I don't know about the weight. My other one is 12-year-old, and he's already as tall as I am. So I don't see anything there either.
Would you want your youngest to be a jockey if he turns out to be able to make the weight?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah. I definitely would like to see one of them, You know, it would be so amazing to be able to at least be riding a race just with that. Just one race with one of them,
Well, it's in their pedigree because not only are you highly accomplished, but I mentioned your wife, Rolanda, and she is an accomplished jockey, and people will forget that she was an Eclipse finalist for Top Apprentice back in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Does she ever critique your rides?
Excuse me, sir?
Does she ever critique your rides?
Sometimes.
You come home and she says, "Hey Zeus, what was that?"
Yeah. Sometimes, I know what I did something wrong. I don't make any comments and I just wait until she says something. And then, and then we start talking about it. And she said, "Well, if that was me, I would have done that." I said, "Well, honey, it looks everything so easy from the chair, from the couch." But she understands. But she, she does give me hard time sometimes.
Visiting with jockey Jesus Castanon on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Really fun first half of the show. Stay with us. Second half coming up next. We'll look at his big horse, Shackleford. We'll tell you the story of being at the Kentucky Derby with Shackleford, turning for home with the lead, and we'll tell you all about winning the Preakness Stakes and beyond. It's next on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's.
Celebrating 10 years of Eclipse award-winning coverage. Thank you for making HRRN your home for a decade of memories.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller of Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. I believe in the craft process of distilling in batches using old-fashioned pot stills, and that's the way we still make Tito's Handmade Vodka today. We even won the World Spirits Competition, double gold, unanimous judge's choice. Tito's Handmade Vodka is made from 100% corn, so it's naturally gluten-free. For recipes, videos, and more, visit titosvodka.com. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, 5th Generation Inc., distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas.
Hey, I'm Chantel Sutherland Cruz and want to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It's the coolest place to bet on horse racing on over 200 racetracks from America and around the world. New players receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit, up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the BetAmerica way.
Since 2006, the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund has provided critical financial assistance to some 60 riders who have sustained catastrophic on-track injuries. The lives of these former athletes who have given so much to the sport of horse racing have been changed forever. I'm Mike Penna, president of the Horse Racing Radio Network and proud supporter of the PDJF, and I ask you to join me in supporting this outstanding organization right now by texting the word JOCKEY to 50555. You'll be credited with a $10 donation that can literally change the lives of those disabled riders who need it so much. It's quick, it's easy, and it's only $10. Who would think a simple $5 Xacta box would mean so much to so many? So let's all help make a huge difference in the lives of those riders who have given us so many great memories. Text the word JOCKEY to 50555 today and visit pdjf.org to learn more. Message and data rates may apply. Terms mgive.org/chi.
The Breeders' Cup runs here.
Bayern, toast of New York, California Chrome. Bayern, toast of New York. Bayern has won it. Bayern got there by a head under Martin Garcia over toast of New York. It's untappable in front. Untappable the leader. Don't tell Sophia flying on the outside. Untappable gonna get there. Untappable has won it. Judy the Beauty sticks her neck out, goes for the wire. On the outside, Better Lucky's catching. Better Lucky, Judy the Beauty. Judy the Beauty, one and a head and eight thriller. Main sequence finishing best of all. Late run from Twilight Eclipse. But it is main sequence to score. Main sequence is one and a head.
The Breeders' Cup, October 30th and 31st. Exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Cal Density. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information and to listen live.
Hi, this is CJ Johnson with your Jockey Talk 360 weekly update. First, let's head to Delaware Park, where our Jockeys Guild Jockey of the Week, Edgar Prado, left Gulfstream for stakes action up at Delaware. He won two stakes, including the Grade 3 Delaware Oaks aboard Calamity Kate. I hope you had Prado on your jockey draft roster because Calamity Kate ended up paying $110.80 to win. Prado finished the week winning 36% of his mounts and 64% in the money. Next, let's head to Arlington Park, where Jose Lescano started off on Saturday winning the Grade 3 American Derby aboard World Approval, then went back to his home in Belmont on Sunday to win the Manila Stakes aboard Gallery. Lescano finished the week with 5 wins from 19 mounts and came in the money on 58% of his mounts. In the Midwest at Arlington Park, Florent Giroux had a great week. He won the Grade 3 Stars and Stripes Handicap aboard the Pizza Man. He was tied for third in wins in North America last week. For the week, Giroux won 47% of his mounts and incredibly finished in the money on 87% of his mounts. Finally, let's head down south where Colby Hernandez continues to dominate at Evangeline. He's built up a 43-win lead in the standings and once again led North America in wins last week with 9. He won the DS Shine Young Futurity on Saturday and finished the week winning 29% of his mounts and came in the money on 52% of his mounts. For all news regarding jockeys in North America, follow us on Twitter at Jockey Talk or go to our website, jockeytalk360.com. This has been CJ Johnson with your Jockey Talk 360 weekly update.
You're listening to Jock Talk on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka.
In between horses at the top of the stretch, Animal Kingdom's in about the sixth path and beginning to close relentlessly on the far outside. Shackleford has the lead from Astrology, a length of furlong out. Animal Kingdom on the outside begins to roar home. Animal Kingdom and Shackleford's got the lead. Shackleford, Animal Kingdom reaching on the outside. Shackleford has done it. Jesus Castaneda on a half from Animal Kingdom. Astrology was there and dialed in and Dance City.
Shackleford so impressive in winning that Preakness Stakes, the middle jewel of the Triple Crown back in 2011. Of course, jockey Jesus Castaneda was aboard for the winning ride that day. It was his first classic win and a big moment in his career. We're going to continue this visit in just a moment, but do want to remind you that if you missed any portion of this program tonight, you can go back to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast at your leisure. All of our Jock Talk shows available for you to listen to. So many great guests have appeared on the program and so many more yet to come. Make sure you join us right here every Tuesday night, 6 to 7 Eastern, and check out those podcasts at horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. Well, you heard Jesus talk in the first program about his background and how he got to this point and now his family, raising a family. It kind of changes your perspective on things. Well, one thing that'll change your perspective as well is winning a Triple Crown race. And you just heard Shackleford's win in the Preakness in 2011. And Jesus, I can only imagine what that moment was like for you. Tell me all about it.
For winning the Preakness, it was one of the, it's like, you know, like all the riders' dream, you know, to have, be able to at least to be riding in one of those big races like that, you know, and winning the race, it was an amazing feeling. I was riding the race and I didn't really think anything about it until I got to the last part of the race. I just went crazy. It was an amazing feeling.
Do you remember the moment when you knew that you were going to win?
I do remember. Yes, I do. When I got to the last eighth of a mile of the race, I knew that I was going to be a tough horse. Yeah, we was going to be able to win the race, to pull it off.
You know, he was such a tough horse. If you had him in contention in that last eighth of a mile, like you just mentioned, he was so tough to get past. What was it about Shackleford that really made him so good?
Well, he was a tough horse, you know, and he always wanted to fight, no matter what, who was around him. He never wouldn't let you go by. Even though somebody was in front of him, he wanted to go ahead and be in front of him, no matter what. And he was a tough horse. No matter what you do, he just wanted to be up there, and control the pace. You know, he was a very good horse.
Do you remember how many text messages and voicemails you had after the race?
Oh man, it was a lot of them. I don't even think I got to hear everyone. But it was a lot of text messages and voicemails, and yeah, my phone went crazy. But it was a good feeling too. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
We talked in the beginning about how emotional that was because of losing your dad shortly before, back in November of 2010, and it was an emotional win for you. 2 weeks earlier, you came to Churchill Downs, and he turns for home in the Kentucky Derby, and he has a clear lead turning for home. Tell me about that experience.
Oh, he was pretty excited. I never really thought I was going to get, first of all, I never even thought about I was going to I never thought I was going to ride the Kentucky Derby in my life. Riding the Derby, riding this course that I knew, I went in with so much confidence, and I knew that I had a chance to be up there. But when I get up to the stretch by myself, I throw up and out like two lanes, I lost myself. I just went crazy. I went, man, this is amazing feelings. I thought I was going to pull it off. I lost my mind because it was so exciting to be able to control the pace and be able to be the number, you know, to be on top of the stress by myself and thinking that I was going to win.
You know, I asked Mike Smith this year before the Kentucky Derby what it's like to win the Kentucky Derby, and he described winning it with Giacomo, but he also said when you're in contention in the stretch like that and you get passed, he said you just wilt like a little flower. Is that the feeling you experienced when you saw the other horses finally get by you?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a time that, even though I was still in front passing the apple. Yes, I was still in front passing the airplane. Yeah, I felt so great. I mean, it's just not, I cannot really describe it. It just was an amazing feeling.
Until you get passed.
Until I get passed, I kind of felt a little so. I went like, "Oh man, this is
kind of deflating."
But you know what? After the race, I was so happy just to be able to just the way my horse ran. I knew that he gave me 110%. I got too excited. I got to be able to feel all the happiness. When I got to be on top of the stress, being able to see all the people in front of me, cheering for everybody down the lane, it was an amazing feeling. Yeah. And I knew I had a horse for the next race, which it was the Preakness.
Can you actually hear the crowd when you turned for home in the Kentucky Derby?
I did. And that even got me more excited.
Really?
Coming on top of the stretch by the port, where you get to see, I got to see that all these people standing up, cheering up, screaming, going crazy, and it was so unbelievable feelings. It was amazing. And when they did that, I was like, man, that made me feel so special, and I thought that I was going to win the race, which, you know, in my mind, I thought I was going to win it when I saw the whole thing, you know.
Yeah, you almost did. How many times did you watch the replay of the Derby and the Preakness? Do you remember?
I got to watch it quite a few times. And watching the race after that, I got to even see a little different things that I could have done in the race.
In the Derby?
In the Derby, yes.
Really? And like what? What would you have done different if you could ride it again?
If I would have been different, I would have went here and let them open up. And I would have been able to, you know, obviously watching the race is different, but when I was doing it, I went crazy riding the horse. I would have changed sticks to my left hand, just like Chocolate for Life. I don't think it would have made a difference, but I think I could have helped Ma a little more. You know?
Yeah.
And that really taught me a lot. I got to learn so much from what I did. And I said, next time when I ride him, I'm gonna do it the way I think we're gonna be able to win the next race. And we did it.
It worked.
Yeah, it worked out. Yeah.
Every great athlete makes those adjustments, and they go back and they study the things that they want to adjust, and you did it perfectly in the Preakness. Everything went according to plan. How much Shackleford memorabilia do you have around your house?
Well, I got so many. Shackleford is full of stuff around my house. Actually, I do have his own room over here in my place.
In your house?
Yeah.
What's in it?
I got pictures of him. When I win the Derby, I got a picture of him and me when I was in the barn. I got a halter.
Yeah.
Of him when he ran the British Cups. Most of them, obviously, I do have a trophy from him as well. And just everything, you know, everything that you can imagine about having Chuck, you know, being around, you know, being on top, you know, having Chuck next to you.
Yeah.
Have a hat. I got everything.
Well, it was a truly memorable point in your career. Undoubtedly the high point of your career, winning that Preakness Stakes. And then after the Preakness, he goes, what, 7 starts without a win. He did have a few runner-up finishes in there, though, so he was close, but hadn't mm-hmm. broken through again. And then all of a sudden, here comes the 2012 Churchill Downs Stakes on the Derby Day undercar, which is a grade 2, and he wins that race, and you're back on cloud 9. But then right afterwards, you end up coming up with another injury that you talked about earlier with a broken wrist, and you have to watch Johnny V get the mount and ride him to the win in the grade 1 Met Mile at Belmont in his next start. Mm-hmm. That couldn't have been easy for you to watch your buddy Shackleford win with another jockey.
It wasn't easy. I was excited. I was happy that he got to win, but I was missing it. I was hoping it was me. But yeah. I was happy the way he did it, and Johnny V rode him perfectly fine. He's a great rider. I respect him a lot. I like him a lot, and he really rode him good.
So did Johnny ask you for any advice on the horse, or just come to you and say, hey, Jesus, does he have any quirks that I need to know about? Or was there any of that type of conversation before the race?
Well, at that point, we talked on the phone before that, but basically, you know, you as a rider, you get to watch the horse race and, you know, the replay of the horse and get to see what the horse like, what the horse wasn't like. And yeah, you know, having the other rider telling you what the horse, you know, if the horse likes to do this or the horse doesn't like to do that. You know, you just kind of give him the important points, and then from there, the rider is the one that started the race and
yep.
of the horse.
Yeah, you told me a story. As I mentioned earlier, you filled in with me as my guest analyst on our Stephen Foster coverage, which was a lot of fun because you were on the sidelines with that injury. And you told me a story about sitting on your couch at home and cheering for Shackleford in that Met Mile. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I was with my wife. We were excited to watch the race and watching the race. He was pretty excited. When I seen him going to the lead, I really know what to my wife. They ain't gonna catch the horse. And seeing him down the lane, I was riding so hard.
From the couch.
I was riding the couch so hard to make him win. And he pulled it off. I mean, like I say, you know, it's a horse that he feels somebody next to him, he always gonna go ahead and come back and he ain't gonna let you go by, you know? So he did it good. I was so excited. I was happy. And the other side, I was a little upset because I couldn't be in there, you know?
Yeah, and out of your control with the injury.
Excuse me?
Out of your control with the injury. There's nothing you could do.
Right. Yeah, nothing I can do, you know? I was off, and actually, it was probably 3 weeks. Two weeks that I just, you know, that I just got hurt. So I was pretty, my injury was pretty fresh.
Yeah, and of course, when you injure your wrist, you can't even play golf.
No, man, that's tough. That was tough.
Is that the hardest part?
I was upset for that, too. Did not even go play golf. I told my wife, man, I wish if it would have been something else, at least I could have go there and you know, play golf a little bit. But I know, not even that.
Talking with Jesus Castanon on Jock Talk presented by Tito's on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Well, Jesus, the Shackleford story has an unbelievable ending, a very happy ending, because he made his final start in the 2012 Clark Handicap at Churchill Downs. That's in the fall of the year at Churchill. And you were reunited with him for the first time in a while for that victory. And that day had to be very, very special for you.
Yeah, it was. You know, I just wanted to be one more time. I just wanted to be on top of him one more time. You know, I knew that coming back of an injury, they wasn't going to go ahead and let me back on him right away, because, you know, obviously having a horse like that, you're not going to go ahead and let somebody, you know, even the same rider that has been riding that horse for so long, if you just come back, they ain't going to go ahead and, I would say that they're not going to go ahead and let you get on him right away. You know, because he's being as an important horse, and you know, they wasn't gonna wait. And watching him run in the Breeders' Cups in California, I knew that I was gonna retire the horse, and I just wanted to be able to ride him at least one more time before he retired, and it couldn't be better than that. It was just amazing feeling.
Yeah,
when I got to ride him in the last race.
Unreal. And to win and to have him go out on top with a win, and a horse that meant so much to you and to your career, to be reunited with him for that first start, you could write a movie script about that.
Yeah, it was a happy ending.
It
was amazing.
It certainly was. Jesus Castaneda on Jock Talk here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Of course, it's all supported by Tito's. And, of course, we support the PDJF, the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund, through this program. So make sure you do the same by visiting PDJF.org. Jesus, let's talk about a couple of milestone moments in your career outside of Shackleford. And one of those came October 8th, 2010 at Keeneland when you picked up your 2000th career victory. Look back on that day for a minute.
Okay. Yeah, you know, before that, I was in Chicago. I was riding in Arlington Park for the meet, and I knew I was getting close to 2,000, but I didn't know I was that close until the last day of the meet. They called me up and they told me that I was getting close to be a 2,000 winner. And I asked them, "How many do I have?" So, well, you got up. You got two or one to make it 2,000. So I wanted, yes, I do want it to be around in Kentucky, which, you know, it happened in Keeneland. There was that was the best place that I could be happy. It was a good place for it. Winning my 2,000, it was amazing. And I actually that day, I think. Yeah, that day I win two races in Keeneland, and my first one was the one that I won my 2,000 races.
When they told you that you were getting close, you said you were one or two away. When they tell you that, does that start to put a little more pressure on you? Do you even feel it?
No, not really. I didn't really. I don't get too much pressure about it. I was excited. But I know I never really put myself under pressure like that. No, I didn't feel it. But I was pretty excited too. Once I got to be, I was able to do it. To accomplish that, it was a great, amazing. You know, it's a great feeling. It was amazing.
Yeah.
You know,
especially for somebody that started being afraid of horses at the age of 11 and didn't really want to ride as long as you have. So to accomplish everything you've done and to reach a milestone like 2,000 that's pretty incredible, my friend.
Yes, it is. Yeah, yes, it is. I really didn't think I was gonna be able to be riding this long. You know, when I first started riding, I was, man, I'm just gonna go ahead and do it for fun. Actually, that's what I thought. You know, I never knew anything about the Derby. I never knew anything about the Preakness. I didn't know anything about the Melbourne. I just wanted to be riding. I don't care. I was riding for 5,000 climbing. I was riding in Mexico. I was riding for 3,200. I was happy. I was happy. And you know, I was young, making money, you know, I was enjoying it. But when I came to the States, that's when I really get to see the real life about being a jockey.
And you came to California, right? California was your first stop, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. It was in Hollywood Park.
And you,
in Hollywood. And that's,
you got to ride with so many outstanding riders, and I know that there were a couple that you really looked up to. One of those I noticed on your bio was Lafitte Pinkai Jr. Tell me what he meant when you got there to California.
Oh, he was good. You know, I always wanted to get close to Lafitte. I always wanted to ask him, how do you do these things? How do you do that? How do you know? It just was, but I was afraid to ask him because I didn't know how he was going to take it. At first, you know. I was young. I was about 16 years old, you know. I was like, but I always wanted to be like them, you know. I always wanted to win the big races. That's when I got to see more about racing, more about being a jockey. You know, that's when everything comes to your mind. About, man, I wish I can be riding the Derby. But I knew I was young. I knew I was learning, and I always liked Chris Macaron the same way. He was aggressive rider down the lane. Gary Stevens. Eddie De La Hoz, one of the top riders that used to come from way out of it and nail you that right on the wire every single time. I mean, I got to ride with the best, nothing but the best back then.
Yeah. Yeah. When you went to Lafitte for the first time or the first couple of times, you said you didn't know how he was going to take it when you started asking him questions. What was it like? Every time I've talked to him, he's been such a nice guy. What was it like for you?
I don't know. I just was afraid that he would have come first. I was excited to at least say hi to him, and he responded back to me. with the same, you know? But I was always afraid of him. He was my idol, you know. He's still my idol. He's a good guy, you know. Nowadays I get to talk to him whenever I see him, and we are good, you know. But back then he was like, man, you know, I don't want to be near this guy because I don't know how he's going to take it, you know. But he was good, you know. He always, obviously, you know, he's a guy that he was his way so much, and he was tough. He was tough what he was doing.
Yeah, and he was so disciplined, right? I mean, I've heard those stories about his work regimen and his diet, and he was relentless with those things.
Oh, yeah, man. I give him so much credit for what he did and as long as he rolled. Because I think if it would have been me, I think I would have quit riding in 2 years. But this guy is amazing.
Do you remember the first time that you finished in front of him in a race?
I do remember. One time I beat him, and then actually I beat him by a nose, and that's the only good memories I have because I beat him by a nose. That was in Santa Anita. Yeah.
Wow.
I was riding for Proctor, for Tom Proctor's brother, and. Yeah, I beat him on the wire, and that was amazing feeling. I went, man, I got to beat one of my idols.
That's got to be surreal for a young kid that comes up, and now, you know, you're virtually playing against your rival, riding against him, and then you finish in front of him by a nose. I can't even imagine what that day had to be like.
Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing. I felt like, I felt like I win, you know, winning the premiums in my life is like great. It was the best feelings ever in my career. And beating him back then when I was younger, I thought I won the Derby.
Jesus Castadon on Jock Talk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Jesus, only a couple of minutes left here before we have to wrap it up. It's really been so much fun to hear your story and to hear you talk about some of those highlights in your career. I always like to kind of end by asking riders to tell us a little something about them that people might not know. So when you're away from the saddle, you're away from the racetrack, what are some of the things you enjoy doing?
Well, first thing is I enjoy my family, you know. I enjoy being with my family, be able to go and do things with my kids. My kids are getting to be in golf as well. And I play with my kids at I take them to the golf course and we get to have a good time. And also I do have a few horses in my farm, and that keeps me occupied, and I'm happy doing it too.
I read somewhere you're a big fan of soccer as well. Is that true?
Oh yes. Yeah, that's. I'm gonna say that riding horses, soccer, and golf. But yeah, soccer is the one. It's in my life. I would say, I get to watch soccer all the time and I enjoy it.
Do you play?
I used to play a lot. Now, time change. You know, we get older and you stop to run.
Well, Jesus Castadon is with me here, and he's been with me for the hour, and it's been unbelievable. It's been such a fun visit, and Jesus, want to wish you a very speedy recovery. I'm glad to hear that everything is coming along well, and we're going to look forward to seeing you back in the saddle here soon and back in the winner's circle.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it having me and you program.
Yeah, I appreciate it, my friend. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you here soon.
All right, mate. Thank you.
All right, Jesus Castadon. So much fun. Such a nice person. I've gotten to know him over the past several years, and it's been such a delight to get to know Jesus. He's an unbelievable family man. His family comes first, then his riding, and then you heard maybe soccer, golf, right in behind it. Let's see him back in the winner's circle soon. Don't forget, you can tune in to this show every single Tuesday night, 6 to 7 Eastern, Sirius 220, XM 206. And, of course, check out our website, horseracingradio.net, for a podcast of all of our Jock Talk shows, all of our shows. It's all there at horseracingradio.net, along with our entire broadcast schedule for the whole year. And, yes, you can listen online through our website as well. Don't forget, follow us on social media. That's at HRN on Twitter. Been a lot of fun. For Lee Delapina, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next time on Jock Talk.